Would you take your Bibles this morning and open them to Isaiah chapter 41? We took about 3 weeks to look at the season of the year of Christmas and what it stands for. But we're getting right back into the study of the book of Romans, where we left off, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, why are we in Isaiah? Because I believe as we get back to Romans, Romans is basically split into two parts, where the first part of Romans is a call for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to begin to live in Him and to trust in Him with their lives. The second part then of the book of Romans, where we left off last week or 4 weeks ago, is Romans chapter 12. Turns a corner, and then it begins to encourage us to move forward in our walk with Christ. I've noticed in many years of being around church members and different churches, there seems to be two different kinds of people in the church. People who have said they trusted the Lord and come to know Him, but basically they're still at the same place that they were when they did that. And they've not really grown in their life, in their spiritual walk. Then there's others who they desire to be in God's Word. They desire to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them. They desire to grow in Him every single day and to abide in Him. And those are the kinds of people that God desires to have in the body of Christ, because we not only understand who God is, we begin to help each other grow in our walk with Christ. And so, with that in mind, I want us to take a look today in Isaiah chapter 41. And I just titled this message today, 2022 Vision. Think about that, 2022. Seems like last year was just 2021. Oh, still, yeah, okay. But anyway, 2022 Vision, Isaiah chapter 41. Begin reading in verse 17. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Father, I ask you to Lord, speak to our hearts today. It seems like in many ways we're in a barren wasteland in our country, in this world. People are looking everywhere to try to satisfy themselves, but they can't find anything that they think will do it. But Lord, they're not looking in the right place, because you are our supplier. You are everything that we need. You're our provider. And Father, you told your children in Israel through the prophet Isaiah that you would do this so that people would see and know who you are. Father, I pray honestly, Lord, that this country, this community, our neighbors would see that you are the supplier of all of our needs and that you are there for us, Lord, and you love us so much and you've done everything that you can do to show us your love. So, Father, I pray that as we look at your word today, it would come alive to us and that, Lord, we would hear what it is you have to say to us personally and us corporately as well. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your outlines there, I just want to read this first paragraph. God desires to supply His people with every necessity, even when it seems impossible. Even if our personal situation is parched as a barren desert, it will be supplied with water. Isaiah 35:7 says, the parched ground shall become a pool. Isaiah used such graphic terms to paint a picture of what God's workmanship will mean in the lives of repentant, obedient people. It will mean more than physical provision. It means spiritual refreshing and growth and fruitfulness. When God causes the impossible with His creative power, it will be clear that He blesses His people. Then those who truly behold these wondrous events will understand the lesson that He alone is God who is active and able. He is the God who delivers His people. I read this from Dr. Davidson's commentary on this section, and I just knew I needed to put it down here, because what it literally is saying to all of us is that every need that we have, God will supply it. And even when we think this world is going to hell in a handbasket, as people might say, the fact is that God is still in the business of trying to show Himself to people if they'll just look, if they'll just listen, and if we will tell people about Him. And so as the vision for this next year, I just began praying over the fact that, Lord, I know that You're not done with us yet. I know that this pandemic has been horrible in a lot of ways, but in some very good ways as well, because it has caused people to reach out, to look for answers, to wonder why all these things are happening. And as we studied last year, as we went through the whole book of Revelation, we know that these kinds of things are going to be happening, and they're going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And as the day approaches, all the more, you know, we need to be looking for the One who's coming to take us home to be with Him. But in the midst of this, there are people trying to figure out why all this is happening and what does this mean. And here we are with the answer. We have the answer, God's Word. We have the answer, Jesus Christ, who has paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so looking towards this next year that God is allowing us to be here, if He doesn't take us home soon, what are we going to do? We're just going to do business as usual? Are we just going to keep meeting and just hope everybody hears somehow about God? Or are we going to truthfully say, listen, this timing that God has put us in is going to give us an opportunity to speak to the needs of people, to meet their needs in many different ways. So with that in mind, I want us to take a look at these verses and to see what God might be saying to us personally and to us corporately as a body of believers. Verse 17 gives God's requirement. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, what does it say? Will answer them. Not maybe, I'll think about it, come back to me later and I'll get back with you. The Lord will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You see, God is ready to do something, I believe. I believe He's ready. I think the problem is that we're not always ready. We lag behind many times when God is trying to get us to do something, to step out in faith. Many times we are powerless, afflicted and needy, just like these people were. They didn't look for the power because they thought the power was coming from themselves, and the power is never coming from us. We are powerless in and of ourselves. Sometimes the Lord has to let us get to a place of hardship or peril for us to look to Him instead of to ourselves. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. I believe one of the reasons that we go through troubles and trials and situations like this are because God is trying to get our attention. Most of you know that one of my favorite passages comes out of James chapter 1. It says, we are to count it joy when we go through these trials because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and perseverance does its complete work and mature work in us. I believe that God is allowing not only this country, but this world to go through these trials for another opportunity for Him to say, here I am. I have the answers. I am the answer. I can meet your needs if you'll come to me. When we stop looking to this world to meet our needs, we can begin to look up to the only One who can. The word search here literally means that we begin to look for the supplier rather than to the supply. See, everybody's trying to find the quick fixes for all these things. They're trying to come up with different answers. They're trying to come up with something that'll bridge the gap, so to speak, and get us, you know, back to kind of where we were. I'm not sure we need to go back to where we were. I think about those people in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus was talking about in Laodicea. These were the people that says, oh, we have everything that we need. We're full and we're happy and we're well clothed. And he says, don't you realize how poor and wretched and naked and blind you are? Don't you realize it? I think that many times God allows these kinds of things to happen to give us a shake, to give us a wake up. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sleep, I am dead sleep. I mean, it would take a bomb to go off to wake me up. I just, you know, you get to the point where you're so tired, you just hit the, you know, you hit the bed, and before you even hit the bed, you're out of it, you know. And I remember my wife was working a night shift. She's a ER nurse, as you know, in the Steamboat, and she was working a night shift, and she called me at about 11 o'clock. Now, for those of you that know me, I'm a morning person. I get up about 4 every day. I'm out at the golf course at 4:30 in the morning walking my dog. I'm a morning person. That's my bent. But you know, about 9:30 or 10 at night, I'm done. I've had all the fun I want to, you know, have. Well, when she called me at about 11, I never heard the phone. The phone's right there by the bed too. I never heard anything, you know. And then I woke up at about 1 and I saw that she had called me. So then I called her back. She said, what are you doing up at 1 o'clock in the morning? I said, well, I'm calling you back. But you know, I think that in many ways this world needs a wake up call. And I believe God is supplying that wake up call. Not that He's wanting people to, you know, catch COVID or anything like that. But I believe what He's trying to do is to get our attention as people. That He is the one. He is the supplier. He is the only one that we can come to. You see, our jobs will never meet all of our needs. You might think, well, if I just, you know, if I got a raise and if I was able to do this and that, you know, then I'll be happy and everything will be fine and taken care of and I won't have to worry about stuff. But you know what? You're never going to have enough. People are never happy with those kinds of things because they're always looking for more. Our money will never meet all of our needs. There's no way. But I can tell you what will meet our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us what will meet our needs. My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot more than I've got. According to the riches of glory through Christ Jesus. You see, God is ready. I believe God is ready to do something in our midst. I believe God is ready to do something in Craig, Colorado. I believe God is ready to do something in this nation. I believe God is ready to do something in this world. The problem is that most people aren't ready for Him to do that. They want the way it used to be. They want the good old days. They want to just have what they have and get, you know, be able to get what they need. But the Lord He's requiring that we realize we are powerless to do those kinds of things. And so He's calling upon His people to have a resolve, a difference between just being ready. We must decide to be thirsty for Him. Look what it says in the second part of verse 17. It says, the poor and needy search for water, there is none. Their tongues are parched with a thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. Have you ever been so thirsty that, man, you would do almost anything to get a drink of water? I remember growing up on the farm in north central Texas, and it was about 110 out there in the middle of August, and we'd be chopping cotton. And I don't know why they call it that, but we never chopped the cotton. We chopped the weeds in the cotton, but they call it chopping cotton. And, man, I was so thirsty. By the time I'd get back down all the way to one end of the row and back down to the next one, I wanted a drink of water so bad. And my granddad had one of those big old igloo things that he kept in the back of the pickup truck. And, man, it would make me work even faster to just try to get back there so I could get me a drink of water. So thirsty. I think here is a beautiful picture that these people were so thirsty. They wanted God to answer them. Their tongues were parched with thirst. See, thirst is a powerful motivator. We can't survive without water. What an interesting picture that Jesus painted later on by saying, "I am the living water." Literally, this world cannot exist without God. This world cannot exist without Christ, what Christ has done for us. As our body needs water, so our soul needs Him. And so we just need to ask ourselves this question. Are we that thirsty for God? Are we so thirsty that we can't do without Him? I think there's a lot of people that kind of treat God as their little blanket that they carry along with them and only use it when they need it. Are you so hungry for God? Are you so thirsty for God? You meet with Him constantly through the day. You keep that ability to speak to Him open all the time. I remember also many years ago, and I won't go tell you how many, but many years ago when I was a teenager, had a girlfriend that was a couple years younger than me. And I would call her up at night and talk to her on the phone. And we always liked talking to each other. I mean, you know, you talk, but you don't even know what you're saying. It's just like you're so enamored by the person. You're just like head over heels with them. And so you'd talk and, you know, and we decided that we wouldn't hang up the phone. We would just go to sleep with the phone off the hook. And in the morning we'd go, "Hello, hello, are you there? Are you..." And that worked fine for a couple of days, but my mom found out what I was doing and put an end to that really quick. She was very upset because my grandparents were both old and not doing so well, and they couldn't call nobody had cell phones back then. They couldn't call the house because it was always busy. It was always busy because I was on the phone. So anyway, but Jeremiah 33:3 says this. The Lord says, "Call on me, and I'll answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you can't comprehend." God's line is always open. He never hangs up His end. So if you're not talking with God, whose fault is it? It's ours, right? The Lord wants us to keep our communication with Him open, to be ready to hear what He might have to say to us. So what is our response? When we feel like we can take care of ourselves, we will not look to the provider of all good things. You know, the Scripture tells us that you have need of nothing. You feel like you don't got everything that you need, so you don't even call on God. It's called the curse of self-sufficiency. Why would I bother Him? You know, I don't want to keep calling on Him. Make Him think that I can't do anything for myself. You know what? The Lord wants us to desire to be in His presence, to desire to call to Him, because He is our Father and He loves us and He cares for us. But most people get into this thought process of, "Hey, I can take care of this. I can handle this. I can do all." Look at what Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 says. "You say, 'I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing.' But you don't realize that you're wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked." There's that church at Laodicea. They didn't call upon the Lord. They just thought they had everything they needed. But what they really had was nothing that they needed. Or we can humble ourselves before the Lord. We can come to Him and realize that the only way that we can do anything that He's calling us to do, which, by the way, He's calling us to go and to tell people about Jesus. He's calling us to be salt and light. He's calling us to let the nations know that He is King and Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land." You might say, well, that was for the Israelites. It was. It was directly given to them as a statement from God. But see, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He also means that for all of His children, for all of His people, for anyone who will come to Him. And so what should we do? We should humble ourselves. Remember that He's in charge and we're not. We should pray and seek His face constantly, not just once a day, not three times before we eat. We should constantly be in prayer, abiding in Him, seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways. When we do that, we'll hear from Him, He'll forgive us, and He'll heal our land. I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love what Oswald Chambers says. He says, it is when our neediness in whatever realm has taught us that the sovereign Lord on whom we depend absolutely longs to bless those who bring their needs to Him that we have learned the greatest lesson of life. You see, God wants to provide for us. He desires to provide for us. His requirement is to come to Him. So what do we do with that requirement? Well, Scripture tells us in verses 18 and 19, we have to respond one way or the other. He will do this. He will make rivers flow on barren heights, springs within the valleys. He'll turn the desert into pools of water and parched ground into springs. And I will put in the desert a cedar and acacia, myrtle and olive. I'll set pines in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress tree together. God wants to respond because He is able to do so. Nobody else is able to do this. Nobody else could do these kinds of things. He is our complete provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who will supply. If you call on Him, He will. He will supply your needs. And He is able to do it. In fact, I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably," in other words, that word literally means you can't fathom. There's no way to measure it. "Immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." You see, He is able to respond, and He will respond if we call upon Him. And He is all-powerful. He's not just able to change the course of nature, as it's talking about here, making water flow in places that are deserts, not just making trees grow in places that there weren't trees before. He's not just able to change the course of nature. He's not just able to affect mankind and the things that are going on around us. He is able to do all things. That's what Scripture tells us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength. There is no limit to God's power. We need to be reminded of that. You might be thinking, in the midst of all the junk that we've gone through the last couple of years, is this ever going to get any better? Is there ever going to be a resolve? Is there ever going to be anything happen that comes out good? Let me just tell you, it is going to happen according to His Word. There is going to be struggles. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be painful times. There are going to be things that, again, try to remind us of who is in charge. There's no limit to His power. He is omnipotent. In other words, He can do all things by just the sound of His voice. The Scripture says He can take that which is barren and make it fertile and fruitful. And that's not just a picture of a landscape in Jerusalem and in Israel. It's a picture of the world. It's a picture of His church. It's a picture of us. He's able to do this with no limits. He can make us fertile and fruitful in a land that is struggling. Is your life, your soul barren and unproductive? Do you feel like you don't really have a direction? You don't feel like anything's happening? You're kind of at an impasse and you don't know what to do? Is your body in need of His touch? Are you hurting? Are you feeling like you're not able to do the things that you want to do? Let me tell you, folks, He's able. He's powerful. If we will call on Him, He will answer us and He will show us great and mighty things which we can't even comprehend. And lastly, verse 20. This is God's reason. You know why God is saying this to the people of Israel? He's saying this to them because He's saying it also to anyone else who look to Him for their strength, for their provision, for their help. You see, when we take a look at what God might have for us to do as a church body, when we take a look at the opportunities that God may place before us, we might think, well, listen, we don't have the ability to do that. We don't have the resources to do that. We don't have enough people to do it. You can talk about all the things that you don't have, but let me talk about the one thing I do have. I have a God who will supply all of my needs. Amen. So look at what verse 20 says. So that, why should we look to God? Why should we ask Him? Why should we look to Him for our provision? So that the people may see and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. Not that you have done that, not that I have done it, but the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created this. You see, God's reason for doing things, for allowing things to happen, for allowing situations to go on, is so that when He does something, people will see it. So that the world may see. People always seem to need to see proof, don't they? Man, if God would just do this, then I would believe. Listen, folks, God doesn't work like that. In fact, think about all the times that Jesus did so many miracles. And boy, the people were enthralled by the miracles. That's what they wanted to see. They wanted to see the miracles, but they didn't want to hear about a relationship with the Lord. Show me and then I'll believe. I guess most people used to be from Missouri. See, folks, that's not faith. Faith is knowing that God will do what He says He will do, whether I get to see it or not. Yet the Lord knows that people are fragile. His compassion and love caused Him to show the world what He is like through Jesus. And God says, the visible image of the invisible God, people will get to see what I'm like. So that the world might see. And then that the world might know. Many people believe that seeing is believing. Those who trust in the Lord know that believing is seeing. In other words, I believe God whether I get to see it with my physical eyes or not. I believe that Jesus is coming back to take us to be with Him. Whether I get the opportunity to do that while I'm still alive or I get to come with Him and get everybody else. Either way, I believe it. I know it is true. Why? Because I know He is true. He has called us to persevere and to never give up. But He's saying this to a people who have pretty much given up. He's saying this to a group of people who are struggling. They're searching for water just to be able to make it. And I came across this old poem that I had set aside for something like this, and I just want to read it to you. It simply says this: sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I need to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love, and I would be living in vain. I have so much to learn. My growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys that I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I'm very sure of one thing: my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys that I grow. And continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord. For this one thing I know: the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys that I grow. Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says it like this: how then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let me tell you something, folks. There are people hurting all around us, everywhere. There are people who live on our streets. There are people who live right down the street or in our neighborhood. There are people that we come across in the grocery store or wherever we might be, and they're hurting. They have needs. And the only real need that they have can only be met by those who know the truth. Yeah, we're going through valleys, but it's in those valleys that we learn who to depend on. If we were on the mountaintop all the time, we wouldn't have to worry about it. God's allowing all things to happen to bring Him glory. And I wonder if we'll get on board with that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that it is in the valleys that we grow. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Your rod and Your staff are with me. They comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Lord, all these statements of David just remind us that it's all about You and it's not about us. Lord, even if everything that we think we need is taken away, we will have one thing that can never be taken away, and that's our relationship with You. Lord, there's so many people who have died living for You. I wonder if there's going to be very many people living for You now. Lord, I pray that You will encourage us in this upcoming year, as long as You give us, that we will be salt and light, that we will speak up for You, that we will not be shy or timid, that we will give a word of grace and salvation to anyone who will listen. And I pray, Father, that You will encourage us in that path. You are the giver of all good things, and I praise You for that. Maybe you're listening today online, or you're here in this body today, and you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I just want to invite you to give your life to Him today. See, when you try to make it on your own, you never will. But when you give your life to the only one who can do great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend, He will do what He desires to do through you by His own power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And He will draw people to Himself. Jesus said, if I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So So he's called us to be salt and light. He's called us to lift up the name of Jesus. He's called us to tell people about Him. But if you've not yet trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, my encouragement to you is don't put it off. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Come to Him. God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, He took on your penalty for your sin when He didn't have to, because He had no sin. And He paid the sin debt for you. Would you be willing to receive that? Trust Him as your Lord and Savior? If you would, you could just simply pray a prayer like this. And just, if you mean it in your heart, God will hear you. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that when You died on the cross, You did it for me. You paid my sin debt. You covered me by Your precious, sinless blood. And so, Lord, today I just give You my life. I call You my Lord. I want to trust You forever. Lord, thank You for saving me. If you would pray a prayer like that, I know He would hear you. He would answer you. He would do what He says He will do. If you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but maybe you feel like these folks who are thirsty in a barren land, you feel like everything's going the wrong direction, would you just call upon Him to empower you by His Holy Spirit to be light and salt to people all around you? We're here because we are His ambassadors, as though He's making His appeal through us. Can we decide as a body of believers that we're not going to back up? We're going to go forward. And we're going to do the best that we can through God's power to tell people about Jesus Christ. If that's where you are this morning, maybe you want to pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I need You more than ever. I can't do this on my own, nor do I want to. But Lord, with Your power, I will be Your voice. I will tell people about You. I will share the love of Christ. I will love my neighbor as myself. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.